And now, it's time for Risk Radio Network with your hosts, Michael Honig and Michael Conti.
This is Michael Honig.
And I'm Michael Conti. We're from Honig Conti Perino Insurance Brokers, New York, New York. And welcome to Risk Radio Network.
You know, we're happy to talk about all kinds of different things, insurance being one of them. But as small business owners in New York City, I think we all have very similar issues that we face, things that we run into. So we're very excited to be talking to you today. Today's topic, Mr. Conti, is?
Well, you know, before I said it, I want to just qualify who we are. Like, I mean, we talk the talk, but we walk the walk as well. I mean, we run businesses, we own real estate, we do a lot of stuff. We fix things, we break things. But today's topic is my hot button for the next 3 months. That's all you're going to hear me talking about. It is a very, very important coverage. It's affecting every business in New York City, New York State, and businesses that deal in New York and New York City and New York State. EPLI, also known as Employers Professional Liability, it's probably one of the most important coverages that any business can buy, but particularly small businesses who are probably the most vulnerable when a suit is alleged that there has been an improper employment practice, such as sexual harassment, hostile workplace, improper firing, improper termination. EPLI is the coverage that's going to come to your rescue.
You know, there was an article I read, I think it was this morning. It was a pretty big case. It was an ageism case. And it was just very interesting to read. It was a very high-profile person who had, you know, an incredible track record in the industry that he happened to be in. And it was an interesting argument. You and I haven't had a chance to talk about this because, you know, you could see situations where companies are, you know, if you're with a car, you know, with an insurance.
Well, wait. Ageism. He was too young?
He was too young. That's definitely not what the issue was. But there's certainly an argument to be made for people being too young in certain jobs. But I can tell you this, you know, here's a question for you. So you have somebody, maybe they're with you 20, 30 years, and they did a great job over that time. But you've got some other staff people, yeah. And maybe they just happen to be younger. And, you know, honestly, as a business owner, their cost is substantially less.
Well, you know what? We talk about this all the time. I mean, because we've seen plenty of guys who are out of it, shouldn't be where they are, and they don't work for us. And we comment on it and go, you know, they shouldn't be doing this anymore. So how do you deal with it?
Well, I think it's a precarious situation for a business owner. I mean, what you clearly can't do is you cannot, you know, ask somebody to leave because of their age and their salary. Like that in itself is not a reason for anybody to be let go from a job.
Mandatory retirement.
Well, you know, mandatory retirement, I'm sure, has its own legal issues. I don't know if it has to be pre-established. I mean, that's a question, you know, when we bring an attorney on to have a conversation
to
talk about.
Pre-established and adhered to.
But I think the issue is let's say you do have somebody that, you know, has done a nice job, but their work has deteriorated, you know, and I'm not saying it's because of their age. It's
right.
Just, you know, we've had people we worked with that, you know, maybe they start off doing really well and then unfortunately things just, you know, and it might not necessarily be the job that's impacting them, but whatever's going on with them, they're just not doing the
right.
job
they're not
at
on
the
their
level.
Game. They're not
right.
on their game.
So, you know, it's a very dangerous, you know, situation. You know, I mean, does that leave you in a situation where you really have to be concerned if you want to separate from an older employee?
Well, of course. I mean, and that's what EPLI is all about, right? I mean, you can't do intentional bad things, but there are going to be, through the course of your running your business, these type of situations that run up where you're going to do the wrong thing, not intentionally or not even with malice, but you think you're doing the right thing. And you're not. I mean, you could put someone in a perilous position. So, for example, you see one of the older guys who's slowing down, right? So you say, hey, you know, why don't you look? You don't have to work 8 hours a day anymore. You know, go home early. Well, somebody else is going to come up and go, hey, look at him. I don't care that he's been doing this for 100 years. He gets to go home after 7 hours. I got to work here 8 hours. Boom, you got a lawsuit.
Well, we were talking about this before. I mean, I think one of the things that people don't realize, and it's not just ageism. I mean, it's, you know, I think the premise of what we were going to talk about had to do with the sexual harassment training requirements in
right.
New York City and New York State.
And
but,
the confusion.
Absolutely. But I think what people don't recognize is that you can be sued. Anybody could be sued
anybody
and named
sued.
In anything.
Right.
And what the real value of the insurance is paying for that attorney, paying the legal fees to defend you.
Right. And to respond, because someone has to respond.
Right. People don't realize, you know, I mean, I've spoken to a lot of business owners who say, you know what, I know my staff, they've been with me for years.
Nobody's going to sue me.
Nobody's going to sue me. Right. And then, unfortunately, those tend to be the people that call you.
Right. And you have the situation, you know, I got a great one. I thought about this in the car this morning because I knew we were going to be on this thing. We had a bar in the Village, a very high-profile bar. It's not there anymore. I still won't say the name. And it was a father and son and a bartender, right? And the father and son would call him blank, blank Eddie, okay? And you could fill in the blanks. And this went on for years, blank, blank Eddie. Blank, blank Eddie went to so-and-so's wedding. He went to the christenings. He was a part of the family, but they always called him blank, blank Eddie.
Well, you know, honestly, as a kid, that's how in the neighborhood you talk to your friends that way.
Right,
Not anymore. I have children that are older. You, if you don't call them by their name, that's...
So he ended up suing them. And the nature of the allegation was, you know, hostile environment because they always referred to me as such and such. And it wasn't a great name. You know, it could also be looked at as a racial slur, too, you know. But so it was, they were dead in the water, man. They couldn't believe it. And this is 10 or 15 years ago when this happened. So now after we go through all of these new laws, and the heightened awareness of how you're supposed to act and whatnot. I mean, I see a floodgate of lawsuits coming down the road. And if you're a business owner and you don't have the EPLI coverage, I think you could close your doors right now.
Well, you and I have been talking about employment practices liability for years. And honestly, it's a hard sale.
It's a hard sale.
People are just, you know, we've been sending out letters every commercial account it's gotta be 3 years.
Thousands.
And if maybe a handful of people responded, and it's not an expensive coverage.
So here's what Mike is talking about, all right? So with every renewal that we send out in the commercial world, we put in there a blurb about, hey, we can get you a quote for EPLI, fill out these four questions, shoot it back to us, and we'll get you a number.
Even better than that. There's premiums right there based on size of firm.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And in how many letters we've sent out? I know we sold one that I know. I could tell you the name of the customer right now. But it's few and far between because people just don't see this threat. And
they're not interested.
And they're not interested, and they're not adhering to the law either. And how is that going to affect them when that lawsuit comes in and it's determined that they have not complied with New York State law? Nobody did the training. This one didn't. We don't know where the records are. Who did the training? Who didn't do the training? How do you defend yourself? You don't even have a defense. If you didn't do the training, you have no defense.
You know, and just to put some context to this, so one of the big dates that everybody's been talking about, you know, and not just, this isn't an insurance matter. This is a New York City and New York State business issue. New York City, you know, and there's been rumblings about this for almost a year, maybe even longer, and there's been a lot of panic and confusion that we were talking about. So New York City has a deadline of April 1st, 2020 for mandatory sexual harassment training. But what people are all up in arms about is that New York State has a separate and different requirement. I mean, I think the training will ultimately satisfy both, but their deadline for compliance is October 9th of this year. So you're talking about almost, you know, it's right around the corner here. But, you know, the issue, too, is that, and I think this is so important, New York City has a requirement that says if you're 15 employees or more, New York State doesn't care.
Doesn't care. And how about the part where if you deal in the state?
If an individual, and I'm gonna cite directly from it, if an individual works a portion of their time in New York State, even if they're based in another state, they must be trained. They have to go through the training.
Right.
So, I mean, we run into these issues all the time with licensing requirements and other states. And honestly, this is why people don't want to work in New York.
You know, the other topic that fascinates me, that I don't even know how you work this in. So we do a lot of bars and restaurants here in the city. We do, clubs, discos, you name it. We got them all. And
so there's still discos around?
Yeah, there are still discos around. They're for people my age, 111, you know, but there are still discos. So anyway. I get the blurb from, you know, that hospitality association where they're always talking about the sexual harassment that the waiters and waitresses go through from the patrons,
right.
which is third party
liability.
Yep. So that's a whole nother topic of that people haven't even explored, because you have the one situation where you have the hostile work environment that's created from management. Okay, then you can have a hostile work environment that's created from the customers, and there is no way you could even control that.
No, and people are so confused by it because, you know, that what we were talking about earlier about I know my staff, they're respectful, they treat each other nicely.
Right.
You got the UPS person that comes in and makes a comment that offends somebody.
Catcalls, whistling.
You know, especially in New York. I mean, this isn't an uncommon thing, and third-party liability is a huge exposure that nobody thinks about because they think they're controlling the environment or they're controlling the office, and they don't realize it's not just internal. It's external also.
Well, you know, I told you that story. I went out to the customer, and I'm sitting there, and it's the son, the father, and the partner, the three of them. They're screaming and yelling. There's a young lady in the office. She's sitting there. She's answering the phone. The three of them are screaming at each other, yelling at each other, and, you know, I'm perfectly comfortable in this environment. I grew up in that environment, so, you know, there's not much that you could say that's going to frighten me. So they're screaming and yelling at each other. They're talking about F you, F this, blah, blah, blah. And I finally had with me a proposal for the EPLI. I never thought I'd make the sale. So I said to him, I go, you know, this young lady here, she hears you guys screaming and yelling, and you're fine with it. I said, and I grew up, you know, in business with my dad, so I understand there's really no harm. It's just letting off steam. I said, but she could walk out the door, go to an attorney's office, and bring suit against you for a hostile work environment. And the three of them looked at me and said, oh, we'll take the coverage. we'll buy it. I never thought I would make that sale, but I mean, it can happen. It's not even where you're hostile towards someone. It's just maybe you're a little angry. I'm an angry guy. I know I give a very false bravado that I'm fun and happy, but
oh no, you don't.
Inside, I'm like really angry, man. You know.
You know, the interesting thing too about these laws that I know you have the same issue with that I do is that, you know, the training is fine. I mean, I thought it was rather lengthy. You know, we had to take the management portion of it, which I think it ran like an hour and a half. And I got to tell you, I mean, I've sat through, you know, being in insurance, I'm used to being bored to tears.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've sat through, I can't even tell you, classes, conferences. Yeah. I've got, you know, folders of junk.
Rubrics.
Yeah. I would tell you, you know, probably 50 minutes in, I was really fading on this. I mean, it just went on a little too long.
Well, you know, there was that one part where, you know, they're talking about, you know, being respectful and you know, Jason works a lot, and the spirit was Jason works too hard, right? I wanted to push my fist through the monitor. Jason, don't work hard. Be a lazy bum. Sit in your mother's basement playing video games the rest of your life. Go ahead. We love that.
You'll appreciate this. So my son has this internship that he's doing working for an accounting firm. And, you know, it's grueling, especially in the beginning. They just work you until you're done. And it's you know, 10, 11 hours a day. And who do I hear from? My mother. This is not right.
No, and it's my grandson.
I said, would you like the phone number of his supervisor? You can call. And I imagine Jason's mother's the same.
She's,
you know,
call.
Jason works too hard. You know, it is what it is. And I'm nervous because I think we've veered off course a bit. You know, I think things are a little too extreme,
too extreme.
A lot of levels.
No sense of humor anywhere, brother.
There is no sense of humor anymore. And I mean, I found myself. I mean, unlike you, I mean, I happen to have a particular funny bone. You're very angry. I'm just funny all the time.
Yeah, you're funny as a crutch, Rich.
Oh, that was so old. See, I could get in trouble for insinuating that
you're
old. You know, but you know, I can see where you could run into trouble. But I think it's just gotten too too extreme. And I think that I think my big fear for people in New York is that they're really not aware of how serious this is and what the implications are.
And here's the message. As a business owner, as a professional insurance broker, if you said to me, I only have money for EPLI or fire insurance, if you chose EPLI, I wouldn't argue with you.
Not at all.
I wouldn't argue with it. That's a very serious coverage.
It's. I think you're going to see more of it. That's going to become, you know, the issues that are going to come. You know, and it's a strange thing to say. I think the training is going to incite
heightened awareness.
It's not even just heightened awareness. I mean, that in itself I'm okay with. It's, oh, I never thought to make a claim about that. I mean, it sounds terrible, but I mean, listen, turn on the television. How many commercials do you see for did you trip and fall? Call us. I mean, it's a giant industry.
It is a giant industry. When I get dressed, every other commercial is an attorney telling somebody to go sue somebody for something that may, even if you don't think you're injured, call us.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
I'm going to take a run to the little boys' room, so we'll be back.
All right, I'm going to go to the big boys' room.
At Honig Conti Perino Insurance, protecting your business is our business. Just like you, we're business owners in Manhattan, navigating constantly changing regulations, dealing with staff changes, owning property, protecting ourselves, our employees, our business, and our bottom line. We understand what it means to run a business, especially in this city. Our doors have been open for over 100 years, and it's not because of slick sales. It's because we genuinely care about the people we protect, and that makes all the difference. When you work with Honig Conti Perino Insurance, you don't just get a policy. You get expert advice, a local firm who's been there before, a dedicated team who's looking out for your interests. See the difference for yourself by reaching out to us at honigconti.com. That's HONIGCONTE.com. Honig Conti Perino. Protecting your business is our business. We're back. This is Michael Honig.
And I'm Michael Conti, and we're both from Honig Conti Perino. Welcome to
the show.
Risk Radio Network. I'm losing it, man.
You know, before Mr. Conti took a much-needed restroom break, we were having a great discussion about employment practices and liability, you know, things that small businesses face, issues going on in New York. And one of the things that I was thinking about while you were on that break was you know, I have two kids in college, and, you know, having gone through, and I know you had kids in college.
No,
a little
I don't.
Bit, not anymore.
No, I don't. They're going to be in college in 10 years.
All right. You know, what's interesting, you know, through, you know, grade school, grammar school, the way things have changed from when I was in school, these kind of topics are very they're in the forefront. These aren't like frivolous discussions. You know, they're aware of bullying and harassment and, you know, a little off topic.
But I think, you know what, though? I listen, I'm not the proponent for bullies, but we're to the level where if you, oh, children, please put on your shoes. Oh, Mrs. Green is bullying us. She wants us to put our shoes on. I mean, that's not bullying. Put your shoes on, damn it.
All right. Well, you know, I don't think Mrs. Green is trying to bully anybody's children, you know, and I apologize, Mrs. Green, for any offense that Mr. Conti may have thrown your way. But, you know, the only reason I bring that up, I think it's interesting because this sexual harassment training that we were talking about before that New York State, New York City are requiring, it's a yearly thing. And it's also required if you have new hires. And I think the law was a little gray in terms of when does this need to happen for a new hire. But, you know, one of the things that's an issue is, so you hire somebody in June who had another job in New York City in the top half of the year who already went through sexual harassment training. Am I now setting that person up for another sexual harassment training? I probably have to.
You have to, because you have to keep your records and you have to show that you're in compliance. And, you know, what's the enemy of small business? Record keeping.
I agree 100%.
I mean, the absolute enemy. I mean, when I was a sole practitioner, I didn't keep any records. I didn't know who was there, who wasn't there, who was on vacation. And now all of a sudden you have to keep records of who did the training, who didn't do the training, when did they do the training, what is the rule for new hires? Do we know? Is it next year they have to be on the anniversary of this law?
I don't know, but I'm just glad that, you know, after almost 15 years business partners together, you're telling me now that there were no records. It's comforting.
You know, listen, there were records. I made them up, though.
I happen to know Mrs. Conti kept stellar
records,
so I'm not concerned at the slightest.
Listen, yes, she keeps good records. She's a good record keeper, that one is.
So, you know, the point I was trying to make that I'm struggling with is I think yearly is excessive. I think the topic is important. I mean, certainly, you know, I would hope that there were enough you know, enough of a public outcry that the city and the state.
No, you're not going to have it. You're not going to have a public outcry. You're going to no one. This is a topic that no one will discuss.
Oh, no. I mean, for these requirements, that there was public outcry for it.
What do you mean for?
Well, you know, I would like to think the city and the state didn't say, you know what? We're having issues in our own house. Why don't we throw this?
No. Are you kidding me? We that was in New Jersey, right? They just had that thing with the governor. You know, his right hand person was accused of rape. He date raped that young lady, and
allegedly.
Allegedly, and he got hired, he got promoted.
Is this the current administration?
Yeah, and everything, you don't hear another thing about it, man. It's like, we made a small mistake, you know, but we're okay.
Are they gone? Were they terminated?
Yeah, I think the one guy got a promotion and the poor young lady got fired. I bet you that's how it shook out. Well, I don't know, but it's, you know, it's just horrible, man. Listen, these guys do these things to get votes because they get votes. Okay, and I'm going down a bad road.
It was
here.
My fault. Right? I asked a question. Yeah. I should have known better.
You and I are cogs that pay taxes, and that's all we will ever do. And these guys will make up more laws and more laws and more laws.
Well, I apologize for taking you into politics.
Yes.
I should have.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I'm going to smack myself when this is over. But I will
don't
say,
don't wait.
You know, one of the things that I am offended at as a resident, as a taxpayer, as a business owner, as an employer, is that the things that I've heard in the last bunch of years that are coming out of our own city and state government. You know, that the state had such a horrendous scandal of harassment and inappropriate
right.
behavior.
Right. Right. Right.
And there was a fund for it. And I don't mean to veer off topic and get into politics, but, you know, it's so ironic to me that, you know, the same people, you know, oh, there's a crisis happening at small business in New York. They need to be trained.
Well, and keep in mind, you know, the sad part is, and my wife will tell you this all the time, like years ago, you went away, you went to the airplane, you went to the airport, you dressed nice, you looked a certain way. There was more civility. Today, we have to teach people how to behave in front of other people because because nobody knows how to behave, you know, like, you know, it's just terrible.
Well,
just terrible.
You know, having been in the workforce for so many years at this point and you having worked in the same place just in different centuries, I think it's interesting that, you know, you talk about growing up and the way the neighborhood used to be, the way the workplace used to be. And I could tell you, in 25 years, it is drastically different than it used to be. And I'm not just talking about smoking at your desk, which, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to at this point.
Those were the good old days.
The happy times.
Right.
But I still think we should bring back Bourbon Fridays. But that's
Bourbon
for another
Fridays
topic.
Bourbon Fridays and martini lunches, for sure.
But I will say that the reason I brought up the kids is that, you know, they're going through all of these discussions. You know, we're so hypersensitive about the way we treat other people. And my kids grew up in a very aware time where, you know, and even in college, they're still doing it, where they had to do sexual harassment training and being with, you know, other people, other religions, other sexes, and, you know, tolerant of that.
You know, it's funny, and you know, we got to tie this back to insurance, because I guess the remedy is to make sure that your business is protected with a good insurance policy, right?
You're such a killjoy.
Yeah, I know, but I'll give you another one. So yesterday I heard a story, and this is true. This is a true story. The young lady that I know, the boss was just fired for inappropriate behavior, and now it turns out that he had two or three previous firings for similar situations. And man, let me tell you, you know, how do you find out? Because you know what happens. Like, if they bring you in and they go, all right, Conti, you did this, you did that, now you got to leave. Or do you want to, you know, you want us to fire you, you want to resign? So you go, no, I think I'll resign. I'll go my way, you go your way. I walk away, I go get another job. I get a decent reference. I have a good resume, good experience. I get another job, and now I'm doing the same thing again. You know, I guess bad habits are continued. So you as an employer, how do you, even if you do a criminal background check, you're never going to find out that you had a job where you were inappropriate towards the women. or other men in the office.
Well,
you know,
you bring up a great point, and we run into this all the time, where we get calls from clients who are asking us, you know, hey, I just got a call from somebody that used to work for me, not from them, but from whether it's one of those search companies that, that are doing background checks. And having spoken to attorneys, I mean, they'll say, listen, you can, here's what you can say.
Right.
They worked for you from here to here, and that's it. Because anything else you say, if it prevents them from getting a job, you know, and listen, I'm not, this is a very important topic that I'm sure we'll talk about at length, you know, not just here, but on other podcasts. But, you know, if there's a, if there's an incident where somebody is terminated because of sexual harassment, there is, unless there's some kind of, you know, through the grapevine, you happen to hear it, which is, you know, pretty difficult these days. And you know, just to really throw it out of left field, you know, if you start posting things like this on social media, you know, then all of a sudden you're liable, you know.
My boss just got fired because he was sexually inappropriate towards all the women in our office, and we work at such and such, and here's our address, and blah, 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 blah.
It's going to get you into a lot of
trouble. You're going to be in a lot of trouble.
But it does present, you know, and that's an issue that I don't think the city and the state even addresses here. I mean, there are places where you can report, you know, the EEOC is one, you know, if there's an issue in the workplace where you can make a complaint. But if it's just the general course of business where there was an allegation and they did whatever investigation they had to do and they terminate the person, a new employer may not have the benefit of that knowledge. And that's a great topic. I think we should we should bring in one of our attorney friends to talk about down the road.
I don't even know how you protect yourself from that. I know, because now you're even limited, right? You're limited on what questions you can ask a prospective employee. You know, you can't even ask certain things. Why'd you get fired from your last job? Where did you ever get fired? I guess, I don't know, is that a legitimate question? Were you ever terminated for sexual misconduct? Can you even ask that? I don't think you can ask that.
I don't know if you could ask it. We'd have to ask
a labor
attorney.
This is brilliant. So I can't ask that question as an employee. Lawyer, but I'm you know what?
You know what? One of the things that we were talking about, which I think is interesting, is all of the requirements of being an employer in New York State, New York City, and the fact that they don't always meld together, that there are different regulations coming from the state. You know, so you brought up an interesting one that we didn't even talk about before, which had to do with a city requirement. And we'll bring it back to EPLI in a second. But there's another law that was passed recently in New York City where you're not allowed to ask what the previous salary was.
Right.
And I get it. The premise of that was for income equality and, you know, not pigeonholing anyone. I could argue both sides of that, you know, as an employer.
Well, first of all, I don't even understand what income equality is. Because I'm telling you, I'm doing 60 hours a week now, all right? So what are you saying, that some guy who's working 30 hours a week makes the same as me? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, it's a conversation I have with my kids all the time, that it is relative. You know, if you're making, you know, $50,000 a year and you're working 40 hours, that's one job. But if you're making the same $50,000 a year and you're working 100 hours a week, I mean, it's you know, there's an issue there.
Listen, we're fortunate enough. We have employees that would walk through glass windows for us, and I appreciate them every day of the week. Okay, and that you know is a beautiful thing. It's very nice to be involved with such wonderful people, to be able to be in their presence every day and manage them every day. But you know what? You hire somebody who's just going to sit there like a lump on the log. Why are they getting rewarded?
No, I agree with you. And, you know, just to bring back the concept of what started this whole discussion, there's a lot of confusion, I think, for employers. And that's not just a New York issue. I mean, New York happens to be, you know, one of the toughest places to run a business and to work. And I could talk all day about just the levels of requirements and obligations that you have to meet as an employer, and even in your industry. We have industry-specific things we have to comply with.
You know, that's probably a whole nother show. I mean, the nonsense that you got to deal with on a day-to-day basis, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
You know, but all of these things, as far as I'm concerned, and I think you would agree, they're all related. You know, how you treat incoming staff, how they're treated, how they treat one another. And, you know, the real issue to me is, you know, regardless of how great you think, you know, everybody's proud of what they do. I can't say I've ever met a business owner that says, yeah, you know, I do an okay job, you know, or we're terrible. Yeah. You know, I've never met anybody that says we suck.
We try until we get it right.
Or we don't try at all. We're just here. I mean, I've yet to run into anybody. I mean, most people, all of the people that I speak to that run businesses are super proud of the fact that they run a business and they want to tell you their story. And I love that. It's right, one of my favorite
right. I
things.
I mean, we have plenty of those and we love them, man.
And we are those people as well. We're super proud of what we do. But I think that the point that people are missing is no matter how great a job you think you're doing and how proud you are of your business and how confident you are in your staff, you know, the fact that all of this hyper-awareness is out there in the space right now, you know, being catapulted, I think, by the sexual harassment training requirement of New York State, New York City, I think that people are not going to be prepared for what's going to come.
No, they're not going to be prepared for what's going to come, hands down. I think people have their eyes closed. I think this is a very, very important coverage that businesses must get. As I said previously, if as a business owner, if you were to say to me, listen, I have money to either pay fire insurance or EPLI, I would tell you all day long, get the EPLI because that's an unknown that you can't predict. And I'll relate it to a new coverage that, you know, we're on the topic, right? Paid family leave, right? Brand new in New York State, two years now. So it started out, let's say this, let me keep it simple for the audience. The rate has quadrupled in 2 years because the number of paid family leave claims was underestimated in the initial rate.
Oh, and if I could just jump in for one quick second. And by the way that the law was written, it's the employee that's paying.
It's the employee, by the way, who's paying it. So their contribution, what was $30 a year, is now a maximum of $196 a year. I would venture to say that in 2 or 3 years, we'll be over $500-$600 a year contribution by the employee. So, you know, and EPLI has the propensity, in my opinion, to become that devastating in terms of the cost of acquiring the coverage, you know, and here's a good one. So, you know, we had this all the time. I tried to place coverage for an account not too long ago, and they called me up after the horse was out of the barn. They said, you know, we had an incident yesterday, and we need to buy coverage today. And I said, well, yeah, okay, you can buy coverage today, but that incident from yesterday is not covered. Oh, why not? Why not? Because you can't buy insurance after you know you're going to need it. The whole principle is that you buy it. Everybody buys it before they know they're going to need it. And that's how the rates hold up. And that's how the pricing holds up.
I have to tell you, I'm always surprised. I've had that conversation before,
right?
Where people call you, you know, can we put something in place? Such and such happen.
Right.
And just the premise of what insurance is all about, like, no.
Well,
you just can never do that.
Not to mention the question on the application is, do you know of any situations that may or may have occurred prior to signing of this application? I'm telling you, you cannot sign that application and something happened yesterday and check off, no, nothing happened. Because it will come out in the investigation and the coverage will be denied. Hands down, as sure as I'm sitting here, I'm telling you, that's how that's going to work.
We've had that situation several times. You know, it's a very clear question that they ask you. It's on every application, I would tell you, that relates to employment practices, right. Professional liability, you know, anything in that vein. And people have run into that issue because they think that they're going to put a Band-Aid on something that's already bleeding.
You can't. And then they're surprised. What do you mean I can't buy insurance because so-and-so grabbed somebody? I'm like, what do you mean? You know it happened, man. There's no risk here. We know it happened.
No, absolutely. And, you know, one thing that came up recently that you were aware of, you know, talking to some, you know, we insure a lot of restaurants. And one in particular that we spend a lot of time at, you know, we have these discussions, you know, as business owners. It's the nicest conversations that we have all the time, not just with each other, but, you know, talking to other business owners.
Talking about Villa Moscone?
Maybe. Right. I don't want to name names just yet. You know, they're camera shy. You know, Jerry gets very shy if you've never met him before.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're having a great discussion, and I feel terrible, not just for them, but for any small business in New York. You know, they run a great shop and doing it for a lot of years. But, you know, you're talking about bring up paid family leave. You bring up minimum wage increases, the float of mandatory, sick time, mandatory, what's the new float? Mandatory vacation?
Mandatory vacation.
Which I don't think is out yet. I think that was the de Blasio thing that I was trying to think of earlier today, that when we were talking about what was today's, what are we blowing up today?
Well, here's a guy who never had a real job in his life. He's been on the city dole his whole entire life, and he knows how to, run things. God bless America, huh?
One of the things that certainly is an issue. That's a concern when you're talking about people that are making decisions on small businesses that have never been in the shoes of a small business owner.
And here's the other one. So, the employee walks in and he goes, "Hey, boss, you know what? I got mandatory vacation. You're not paying me. You're not giving me vacation time." There's an EPLI claim right there.
Yeah.
There's an EPLI claim.
There's so many issues that small businesses have to go through, and I appreciate the conversation where they say, "Look, I'm paying more in salaries. There's so many other things that I have to comply with, and unfortunately, they look at EPLI as an extra burden." I'm hoping that with this conversation and the conversations you and I have had with clients, that they will realize how important and valuable this is, what the cost of not having it is, which I think is greater.
We talked about it earlier, right? So you get sued, you got to get an attorney. $500 an hour, $600 an hour.
Name your price.
Go to court, sit in court, wait for the judge, wait for this, wait for that. Before you know it, you one day for an attorney is like $3,000-$4,000.
It's crazy. Well, we're getting waved off. They've had enough of us.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
This was a great chat. I hope we can talk to you again
soon.
Thank you to everybody who listened to the show. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. For more information, you can certainly go to our website at honigconte.com, HONIGCONTE.com. And the resources that we had talked about in this podcast can be found by clicking the link right on the homepage, which will bring you to the podcast and other resources.
And remember, if you have questions for our show, we'd love to take them. Shoot them to questions@honigconte.com. That's questions@honigconte.com. If you want us to mention your name, we will. If you don't want us to mention your name, just tell us and we won't.
And if you'd like to speak to Mr. Conte, also known as the Velvet Fog here in the studio, the telephone number is 212-777-7113, and his extension is 6277. Have a great day.